Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is Wednesday night again. And God and his faithfulness and his power and his might, we are able to meet here again. It is always a pleasure to be with you on Wednesday night. And I thank God for the opportunity, first of all, for just allowing me to be able to do this. And I thank God for each and every one of you that's taking time out of your busy schedule to come as we explore the Word of God with Inspirational Wednesday on Wednesday night. I'm thankful and I'm grateful. And as always, I have to thank God, who's the author and the finisher of all of our faith, for his darling son, Jesus, for the sweet Holy Spirit. And I have to thank you for tuning in. As always, we're going to go and do the program on tonight. A few things you need to remember. If you want to make a comment, you want to pray, you want to give words of encouragement, you want to sing a song, when the lesson is over, if you have something to interject into the lesson, because remember, I tell you all the time, I don't know everything. And we are all a part of the body of Christ. And just as God gives me things to say, he also gives them to you. So if you would like to share that, make some interjections, ask questions at the end of the program, if you'd like to do that, all you have to do is press the one button on the phone, and I will open the mic and bring you into the studio. So what we're going to do, as we always do, I'm going to play a song that would bring us into the presence of God. And after that, we're going to come back. I'm going to do a prayer, and we're going to go into the lesson. Tonight's lesson is coming from the book of Galatians. It's going to be found in the 6th chapter, and we're going to go through verses 7 through 10. The book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 through 10. And the title for the lesson tonight is, What You Got Is What You Gave. What you got is what you gave. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. And at this time, I'm going to play a song called Grace and Mercy. It's by the Mississippi Mass Choir. Enjoy, and I'll be back at you. Thank you.
Oh,
And that was the Mississippi Mass Choir with Grace and Mercy. I know and I pray that each and one of us understand that it's only by God's grace and his mercy that we'll still hear. I just want to take this time to let you know some things about the station. It has been a three-month period since we have the new station, Words of Wisdom. And in a three-month period, we have had 3,000 listeners, and I just want to give God the praise for that, and I thank you guys for being in a number. Also, after I get through praying, really and truly, I could switch it tonight. There's callers on in the studio right now, and if anyone would like to do the opening prayer, if you press the one button on your phone, I'll open your mic. And I'll let you do the prayer for the opening before the lesson. If anyone would like to pray and open a lesson, just press the one on the phone and I'll open your mic and you could be heard in the studio. And we have a mic open. The person, and I think I know the number, so Mr. Jones, if you, thank you first of all for wanting to open us up in prayer tonight, and your mic is open. So at any time, you could begin the prayer. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. Let's go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, dear God, just to explore your word, dear God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, and your protection, dear God. We pray right now, God, that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Let us receive your word, dear God, with conviction, Father God. Let it strengthen us, restore us, and bring us back closer to you, dear God. We thank you, we honor you, we bless your name. It's all said, done, and asked. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Oh, thank you, brother. I'm just so glad. You know, because this is our program, you know, and it's a pleasure for everybody to take a part. I would like to thank that caller for opening us up with prayer, and it was a beautiful prayer. And I know that prayer will not return void, and I thank you for it. And we're going to go ahead and start with the lesson for those, because I see some other callers came in. We're going to start in the book of Galatians, and we're going to be in the 7th through the 10th verse. And the name of the lesson for tonight is, What You Got is What You Gave. As always, before I do the lesson and explore the scriptures, that's for the main theme for tonight, I always talk about the book that it came from, a character in the book, or whatever. So I'm going to give you a little bit on the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul. And one way I want you to know, you know, you might say, well, and how you know it was the Apostle Paul? If you look in the book of Galatians in the first chapter, Paul introduced and identified himself because he does the greeting for the chapter, and that's what let me know that Paul is the writer of this book. This letter was written to the churches in Galatia, and the readers of this letter, a book, was Jewish people who live in Galatia, and they were called Galatians. You see, Paul established a church in Galatia and had led the Galatians to Christ. They were doing well, and they was following the gospel, and they understand Christ is the way. And then all of a sudden, some Jewish teachers came in and began to teach. And they start teaching things that to be saved, you just couldn't just believe in Christ, but you had to obey the Mosaic law. And Paul got word of this, and he wrote this letter to clear some of the things up. So the book of Galatians, which is a letter, and it's called an epistle, is where Paul wrote. And what he did, he wrote this letter to expose the error of the Judaizers who practice Judaism religion with imperial motives. We know that Judaism is a religion of the Jews, and that's the Jews as of this day who don't believe that Christ is the Messiah. They believe in God, and they believe in the law of Moses, but they never accepted Christ as the Savior. That's Judaism religion, and the people who practice are Judaizers. You see, the Judaizers was the Jewish teachers, and they taught that salvation could only be achieved by following the law. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and how could his grace and grace be sufficient? You know, a lot of Christians today even believe that, you know, grace is a gift from God. It's unmerited. It comes along with accepting Christ and through his blood, death, burial, and resurrection. Grace is sufficient that we're taught. But today, people just can't wrap their heads around the fact that grace is sufficient. Today, in the Judaism religion, you know, they still waiting for the Messiah. Paul's ultimate goal is to prevent the readers from embracing false gospel and to encourage them to retain their spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ, who had come and is the true Savior of the world. Paul does not want his converts to be tied up with all that now abolished rules and regulations of the law. You see, because when that happens, it forms legalism. And right now I'm going to tell you a little bit about legalism. You know, the word legalism does not appear in the Bible, but legalism is a term Christians use when dealing with Christianity. It is the excessive and improper use of the law. It could be anything that promises salvation by any other means other than faith in Jesus Christ. You know, there's different forms of legalism. And I'm a touch on these three because even though we as Christians are saved, I know a lot of Christians have a hard time believing that, you know, grace is sufficient. You know, some people think this, you need this. You know, anything that exalts itself and explains itself that it is needed along with Christ for salvation is legalism. You see, first form of legalism is when a person attempts to keep the law in order to obtain salvation. What am I saying? You know what the law was. Thou don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And when they didn't keep the law in the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals. But people believe that the laws, even though we don't sacrifice, you still have to do them to be saved. That's not so. Second is where a person keeps the law once they're saved, in order to maintain its salvation. To me, if you got to have something added along with Christ for your salvation, then what you are actually saying that what Jesus did and is doing and has promised to do is not enough. And really you're saying grace, the unmerited gift that God granted to us for salvation through his son, is not enough. And the third one is where a Christian judge other Christians for not keeping certain codes of conduct that he thinks need to be observed. Y'all know anybody like that? You know, people take and pick certain things in the Bible and certain sins in the Bible, and they want to make this sin, even though you're saved, to put you in hell. But they could, you know, other sins don't put you in hell. But that's when Christians is judging one another about codes and things you have to do to be saved. Those three things are part of legalism. You know, we have to leave that alone. We have to accept what Christ did is sufficient. And when we look at the book of Galatians, the central theme of the letter is justification by God's grace through faith. The book of Galatians was written a long time ago, and it is still, and still today there are people who believe that works and the rules of the law is the only way to be saved. Now, Christians don't believe that the works is the only thing to save you, but they believe that you have to work to be saved. You know, the book of James talks about faith and works, and Paul said that it's not works, but it's faith. They always want to say that those two contradict each other, but they're not contradiction. They're adding to. They're building up on. Because what James was really saying, that once you get saved, you should want to work. And Paul is saying, don't take your works and think that could save you. Come on now. You see, people who like that, and they believe that they got to do these works, even though they have been granted salvation and sealed with the Holy Ghost, they still think every deed, action, or work that they do have a cause and effect for their salvation. You see, they wake up each day hoping that they could be good enough to gain salvation for that day. And then they go to sleep and wake up the next morning and start over trying to achieve salvation in and of themselves. That's hard. If God wanted us to have it that hard, he wouldn't have put his son in the equation. God knew that man could not save himself. That's why he sent his son. Am I giving you a license to sin? No, God forbid. Because once you know God, and once you know what he's done for you, once you know what he's doing for you, and once you know what he's going to do for you, should make you want to work. You see, some people are trying to be worthy. But the Bible lets us know that we could never be worthy enough to earn salvation. And you have to understand that God has worked it out for us with grace through his son. If you could understand, the concept and what is done, you could begin to live with rest and peace by trusting God for what he's done. Paul in the book of Galatians wants you to understand that Christ is the only way. Our hope should be placed in Jesus Christ alone, not what we do today to earn it. We must hold on to what Jesus has done, is doing, and gonna do. And that's just a little tidbit of what the book of Galatians is about. And now we're going to go and explore Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 7th through the 10th verse. And these verses teach how to live as Christians. And the title of the lesson tonight is, what you got is what you gave. And Galatians 6 and 7 say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. That's the word of God. So when you look at your life and wonder about where you are, you might be in a good place, you might be in a bad place. You might have good things going on, you might have things that's not so good going on. You know, but you would have to answer that for yourself. And if you wonder about it, you have to understand plenty times our action and what we do determine what we got. And how you determine that as you look at what you gave. The word mocked means to outwit or outfox. So when the Bible say God is not mocked, and he's telling you, I got it. You can't outwit me. You can't outdo me. You can't trick me. Because I'm God. I know everything. I am everything. I am everywhere. You know, I could never be that. Because that means to outwit or to outfox. You see, to disobey God and then escape consequences for your action would be outwitting or outfoxing him. It took me a long time, me, in my life, to realize that this verse had two sides of a coin. You know, as growing up and your parents always told you, girl, you're going to reap what you sow. And it usually was time when you wasn't doing something that was pleasing them. You know, as I was always told that I would reap the bad things that I do in life. This verse doesn't just pertain to the bad. But as I learned the word of God, I got the victory and I understood that it was a two-sided coin. And I wouldn't just receive and reap from the bad, but I would also reap from the good. You should be willing to deal with what you got. Because usually you got what you got because that was what you gave. This verse is like the law of gravity. I want you to know tonight that it's real and it won't change for you or for me. God said it and it is. You know, the word operate under the law of cause and effect. There is no way around it. Every time you choose an action, you choose the consequences for that action. When we think about something being sowed, it usually is dealing with the planting of seeds. You know, God uses earthly things that we can get spiritual and heavenly meanings. And the reason he do this because it's something that we can relate to. So when you think about something that's being sowed, it usually deals with the planting of seeds. And what is expected to reap is a harvest of that which is planted. Let's look at these seeds being sowed. And if you could take the word seeds because of the sow and turn it into deeds, we could walk the lesson together tonight. So what I'm asking you to do is look at the word seeds, that the seeds that's being sowed, and translate that into the deeds that you're sowing. And then we could be on the same page. You see, Genesis 1 and 12, Genesis 1 and 12 says, the land produced vegetation, plants, bearing seeds according to its own kind, and the tree bearing fruit with seeds in it according to their kind. And then the scripture in Genesis 1 and 12 say, and the Lord saw that it was good. So what that's telling in Genesis, way in Genesis, in the first chapter, God introduced seeds and planting and harvest and reaping, and he said that it was good. You see, if you plant an apple seed, you won't be looking for a harvest of grapes. And if you do, you know, then something is not right. Well, then if you plant deeds of hate, you shouldn't be looking for love. One thing that could never stop amazing me is when a person that talks and gossip about everybody and everything, and then when they hear that someone else said something about them, they get so mad that they could hurt something. You know, you're going to get what you give. How could you be willing to give that and not receive it? But it happens. As if you could sow gossip and not reap it. Come on now. The things that you don't want to bounce in your life, don't put it out there, because it just might come back to you. They say if you're willing to give, and if you're not willing to give, you shouldn't be expecting to always to get. You may wonder why some people have and some have not. You know, 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, and it reads like this in the New English Bible. They say, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, God give to those who he knows will be willing to give. And I don't want to make it like you can only get that, because see, God in his ultimate wisdom, he does all kind of things. And I know that God blessings come generally to the whole world, as he sends sun and rain to the just and as well as the unjust. You know, God might just have something for you, not that you did it like I think you should do it, because what God has for you is for you. But there's a rule and there's a law and there's a cause and effect that's in place, because the Bible said. So we got to be about sowing what we expect to reap. You see, in some cases, his blessing come more especially to whom he choose. Because you got to remember, God do what he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want, because he's God. But we must sow to reap, even with that. You know, God used these illustrations of things that we are familiar with so that we could fully understand what the Word of God is explaining. Remember that. Sow, reap, seize, harvest. And now we're going to go to Galatians 6 and 8. And that scripture reads, for he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's good news. You see, there is nothing sown in the flesh that is good or lasting. Nothing in the flesh. There is nothing in the flesh, I'm going to say it again, that is good or lasting. Everything sown in the flesh is only temporal. Things sown in the Spirit is everlasting, because you got to remember one thing. Only what you do for Christ will last. In the book of Galatians, things sown of the flesh, and it gives some exact samples of them. It was adultery, fornication, idolatry, wrath, you know, and strife. You know, that's just the name of a few things. But, you know, things that are sown in the Spirit is love and peace and joy and gentleness, you know. It's not that hard to understand the opposite side of the coin. But we got to learn what we sow is what we expect to get. You see, Romans 5 and 8 say, for they that are after the flesh do the mind the things of the flesh. But people who are after the Spirit do the mind the things of the Spirit. You know, what are you sowing these days? Are you feeding your flesh? Are you feeding your Spirit? God said, I have a plan in place for you that you could get the end results that you need. But this is what you must do. Sow in the Spirit and the things of God. Allow the Holy Ghost to lead you and to direct you, because he's giving you the things of the Spirit. You know, the Holy Ghost is taking time to always give us the things of the Spirit. We have to learn to cooperate with him. You know, he's not going to tell you something that could hurt, harm you. He's only giving you the things of the Spirit that will lead and guide you into righteousness and truth, that will give you peace and an expected end and joy and patience. And it's going to build you up, because when you accepted Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost came, he brought the fruit of the Spirit and he sealed you for salvation. You see, long as there's flesh on our body, flesh will crave fleshly things. But you see, when Jesus come back, he's going to remove the corruptible, which is the flesh, and replace it with incorruptible, which is total spirit. But you see, until then, we must learn how to sow to the things of the Spirit. And one thing, the most important thing, is sowing to the Spirit. When the day when you accepted Christ, I don't know about you, but plenty of times you was in, you know, plenty of people that had the experience that when they was in church and the pastor opened up the doors of the church, and some kind of way you found yourself in the front of the pulpit, and plenty of times they say, I don't even know how I got there. I don't even know why I went at that time. Because you see, the Holy Ghost was calling you, and you answered. You sold up the Spirit, and you accepted Christ, and you received salvation. That's the main purpose. But now, after you have done that, we got to live here on earth. You see? First, we must accept Christ as our Savior and reap salvation. That's the harvest of salvation, which is eternity. And then begin sowing in the things of the Spirit for abundant life right here on earth. You know, God's intent was never for us not to have a good life down here, not to have the desires of our heart, not to be financially blessed, not to be to have good health. He said, the earth is mine, the fullness thereof. I own it all. I got it for you. What good would it do for me to hold anything back from you? He's saying it's here and it's waiting. And he gave us the Bible, which is the principle for us to receive it. And in Galatians 6:7, he's telling you, you got to sow what you want to reap. You see, you know, he said, I could give you abundant living, abundant life right here. You know, the scripture in John 10:10 said, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You can have abundant life, right? You can have an abundant life here on earth. But it's going to be determined by how you live. It's how you give. Because what you get is what you gave. And we're going to go to the 6th chapter, 9th verse. And it said, let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Let's not be weary in doing well, for in due season we will reap if we not faint. You know, the Bible teaches us that the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. And I don't want to just give you all this word because, you know, I want to give you the word, but I know sometimes it's hard. Even God say it so. You know, in your life it just always seemed like the word was really for you, which we know that it was but we could be going through trials and tribulation, and we have things going on in our lives and people just, you know, not treating us good. You know, I know it's discouraging to continue to do the right thing and receive no words of thanks or see and do certain things and don't see no tangible results. But believe me, in due season, you will reap the harvest of blessings from God. We got to remember with this, even with the reaping and sowing, you know, you might have sowed so much, and it don't seem like you reaping the benefits. But you see, it's not our time. It's his time. In many places, you got to know this, that you have sown, let's put it like this, many people's lives you have sown in, many things you have sown in, many, you know, places you sown in, many whatever, you sowed all of this. But you know one thing? You got to remember, your harvest don't ever always come from where you put it, planted the seed. But you see, God is in control of that seed, and you see, you might have sowed in the neighbor next door life, and then here, somebody call you out of the blue and bless you. You see, that's the harvest from what you sowed. It just happened to be to the neighbor, and the neighbor's not sowing back to you. You know, plenty of people talk about doing well all the time. All the time with members in their family, and they know they're supposed to love their family, and yet they don't get no return. They don't get no thanks, you know, and it's always seem like you're being used. But this scripture in 6 and 9 say, don't get weary about doing well. You see, our responsibility is do the right thing no matter what someone else do. We got to treat people right no matter how they treat us. We have to give even though there be times we can't get it back. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, and everywhere you plant a seed and do good, it may not come back from that entity. You see, I want to let you know that sowing and reaping implies a weight. You know, when something is planted, it don't come up overnight. Some seeds take months to just sprout up, and other, like trees, take years. And some only come up in a season. Come on now. Y'all know about a season, huh? In due time, your season will come through. Your season, your season, your season. In waiting, you must continue to do what is right at all times, not just sometimes. The scripture says, wait on the Lord. I say, wait on the Lord. You know, and this is another great part of reaping and sowing, and the Bible lets us know that we always reap more than what we sowed. In other words, the law of sowing and reaping is related also to the law of multiplication. In Matthew 13 and 8 lets us know this, because in Matthew 13 and 8 they say, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain. And then some 100-fold, others 60, and some 30. You know, I have people plenty of times tell me, you know, I gave my last $10 to da-da-da-da. They saying before the night fell, you know, somebody had given me $100. You know, they counted as a blessing, and it was a multiplied blessing, and it was a hundredfold, and that's how God does. You know, you got to remember, you can't beat God's giving no matter how you try. And the last scripture for the night is Galatians 6 and 10. And what this scripture is telling, that we have therefore opportunity, saying we have the opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially to whom are in the household of faith. So what it's saying, we should use every opportunity to do good towards one another. That's good sowing. And believe me, the harvest is out of this world. But especially those who are in the household of faith, you know, which is the body of Christ. If you do this, and you should do this, because you know what? Knowing your certainty is being divinely rewarded. Believers are urged to seize each opportunity to do good. You know, the Bible teaches and God said, nothing that you do, no good deed will be unnoticed. None. He said, I'm a rewarder of them. I want to reward you for what you do. And remember, you know, there's two sides to the coin. Sowing and reaping is used as a metaphor for death and resurrection. There's another, you know, precept is where this particular scripture is coming from. You see, Paul discusses the doctrine of the resurrection of the body. He used the analogy of planting a seed to illustrate physical death. The body that is sown is perishable, and it rises The body that is sown is perishable, and it rises imperishable. It is sown natural, and it rises spiritual. You see, when we die, Jesus is going to come back for us. And the people that has died was planted into the grave. And you see, when they wake, they come out of the grave, Jesus is going to give them a body of, going to take away the corruptible, and he's going to put incorruptible on us. And then we're going to be able to be with Jesus Christ, and we're going to be able to receive our eternity. You know, when a seed dies, when it falls to the ground, it's not the end of its life, especially if we're with Christ. Throughout the scriptures, the idea of sowing and reaping is a important principle. It imparts wisdom for both this world and wisdom concerning the next world. So as I close tonight, I just want everybody to take time and examine yourself. Take inventory of what you want. And decide what you should be sowing in order to receive it. You know, there's so many basic, you know, easy things that we could say. You know, you want finances, so you might have to give. You want health, so you might have to, you know, sow some exercise. You know, whatever it is, Galatians 6:7-10 is letting us know a process that we have to do to receive it. You know, we need to take the time and give God the praise, the honor, and the glory for all the blessings we have already received. You know, even though we sow seeds to receive a harvest, we still not worthy. We still not good enough for everything that God has done for us. We are not righteous enough to have the opportunity to come together to explore the Word of God. But God is faithful, and God wants us to enjoy and have and be all that we want to be. You know, plenty of times it depends where you are is how you got there. Now, I understand that some things, like the weather, we can't control the weather. We couldn't control Katrina. So when Katrina came, it went on the just as well as the unjust. I understand that was out of the control, but there are things in our life that we can control, and we not. Some of our things and places that we are right now, we don't want to be there. Some of them, if it's out of your control, oh well, but if it's in your control, understand what part you're playing in it. God say, I hold nothing back. Just like an earthly father want to give everything to his child, he said, I want to do it even more because I love you. And I'm just saying, let us take time, figure out where we are, how we got here. Is this where we want to be? How can we change it? And if it's something that's good, keep doing it. keep doing the same thing. Just keep doing what you're doing. And if you don't, then change. Because, you know, the definition of insanity is you keep doing things the same way and expecting to have a different result. So if it's things that you don't like, change it. And as I close, I just want you to remember this. Don't be deceived. What you got, good or bad, is what you gave, good or bad, because God is not mocked. And that's the lesson for tonight. And I pray that it was something that someone can use. And I also pray that if someone can add something to this, would you please press the one button on your telephone, and I'll bring you into the studio, and I'll open up your mic. You know, right now, you know, in the city of New Orleans, and I see that all of my callers are not just from New Orleans, but, you know, they had weather reports of how bad it was going to be, and they shut the city down, and they did this, and they did that, and God saw fit that it wasn't as bad as we thought. And we have to give him the praise and the honor and the glory for that, you know, because they had people sitting in cars all night and different things happened. But this is just a prime example. God is in control of everything. God see fit to do what he want to do. It's just our job to say, not our will, but your will, God. Not our will, but your will. And nothing that God asks us to do, he didn't give us provisions to be able to do it. You know, the scripture in Philippians 2 and 13 say, God himself, you know, it says, it is I that worketh in you to will and to do my good pleasures. God say, I'm a gift from you. What I want to get from you, all I need you to do is to submit and obey. And for some reason, that seemed like the hardest things for us to do. He said, I didn't ask you to do nothing. I didn't make a way for you to be able to do it. I didn't ask you to go nowhere where I didn't straighten out the journey. He said, I ain't never asked you to pay something that I didn't give you the money for. I didn't ask you to do something you couldn't do within your power. God said, I got this, and I got you. Just submit, because your design purpose was already formulated before the foundation of the earth. And God had made all of the provisions at that same time before the foundation of the earth. It's the easiest thing. God said to follow me as easy as you looking at the palm of your hand. And yet we make it so hard in our lives. As the scripture and the lesson taught, God gave his son so that whosoever would believe would have everlasting life. And it told us that we are now in the dispensation of time of grace. And we living under grace and not the law. And people still want to hold you in the law and saying, you know, if you don't do this or you don't do that, you know, if you do this and you do that and certain sins, it's abomination, so they going to hell. All of that is not true. And first of all, if any man could have saved him own self through his own deeds, his own will, his own way, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. And every time we add all of this legalism and heresy to what Jesus has done, we are saying, Jesus, what you did is not enough, so I got to help you. I am not giving you a license to sin. But Jesus took away the sin. God said, when I look at you, all I can see is my son. We got to understand that, and that's what Paul was writing to the Galatians, because, you know, they was talking about, you know, the people who accepted Christ couldn't be saved because they need to be circumcised. Jesus says circumcision has no purpose. If the skin is dead, if the skin's not dead, it has nothing to making you whole in. It ain't going to get you salvation. He said, but they talk about circumcision of the man. He said, but I want to circumcise your heart. You see, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. And that's what he did when he walked this earth with show us. You know, circumcision had a place then, but I want to circumcise the heart. I want to take the excess junk from around your heart. Circumcising a man is not going to save you. It's not going to make you go to hell. But those type of things, and today we have so much of that in the body of Christ. You know, if you don't do this, if you did that, but God looks at the heart. And I'm so glad. Because, you see, I know me personally. You know, I'm still under construction. And the Bible teach me that, you know, walking a Christian life is a process. And no one have arrived. And those who think they have, that they're so good, that's called self-righteousness. That means they make up their own righteousness. So that's the lesson for the night. And if anyone have a comment, words of encouragement, would like to add to the lesson, would like to do the closing prayer, would want to hear and listen to a song, please press your one button. And the caller who's number 504-250-59, if you press the one button so it could, if it could go away, and you press it again, I'll know you want to talk again, because I can't tell because your light is still on. And I don't want to open your mic if you don't want to talk. But is there anyone else who would like to say words of encouragement? Anyone who would like to say a prayer? Anybody want to ask for a prayer? Anybody want to comment on the weather? You know, just whatever. You know, we have 6 minutes before we reach the 9:30 hour, which would be an hour that we came together. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Well, the caller, he followed the instruction. All right, call at... Yes, your line is open.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for the word tonight, but I just want to add to the reaping and sowing part for some clarification or some things, and I'm only reflecting on my own life. I've heard people talk and get confused about the reaping and sowing thing. Some people are under the impression that if you sow financially that you will reap finances, but that's not always true, because God is so full of grace and so full of mercy and wisdom that finances can't do everything for us. So in return, the reaping could be your health, your strength. It could be the blessing of your children. It could be longevity. It could be a lot of things that God knows is tied into your expected. Just for clarification, financial sowing does not necessarily mean that you're going to get financial blessings back.
Thank you, caller. And to add to that, you know, that's why I say it in the lesson that, you know, the place that you sold or what you sold, it might not come back like that. Because right. God in his ultimate wisdom, like the caller is saying, he knows everything you need. You know, and he's smart enough to take a sowing of finances and add good health to you, you know, or open a college door for your child. In other words, even if we take away the specifics, you got to give to get. You know, and then I also spoke about God give to who he wants, you know, for whatever reason and purpose, for his design purpose and his glory. That happens too in life. So that's why I brought that in. But that's a good interjection call, and I thank you. And that's what I, you know, we could have other people may have something to say, and that's how we grow and we see it from another perspective. Because like I always tell you, I don't know everything, and I don't give illumination and revelation. I can only give information, because illumination and a revelation is from God. And I thank you so much, caller, for giving us that information. Would anybody else like to say anything? It's 9:27. If not, we're going to go into the closing prayer. And so I won't hold the callers up that may have something to do with their schedule or whatever. I will play the song after the benediction and the closing prayer. So again, if anybody would like to say anything at this time, please press the one button on your phone. And even after the prayer go forth, if you would like to say something, you can do that as well. So no one else lit up. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to say the prayer. And after the prayer, we're going to, I'll play some music because they have several callers that stay on the phone even, you know, a good while after the program is over just listening to the music. But again, I want to thank everybody for coming on the line. And I want to thank all of my internet people that's listening, people who listen to that on Facebook and wherever you may be listening. And I know I get the stats of how many callers come from different places and through different means of technology. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. And for three months, we have reached over 3,000 callers, internets, Facebooks, and other people. And because of that, I say thank you. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and close. And I want everybody to know, you know, to be safe with this weather. And you need whatever you need to do to protect your house and your pipes and whatever, you do that. And while this is going on, please pray for one another, you know, so that, you know, everybody can make it through, you know, through this winter storm. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then after that, I'll play the music. But dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, for allowing us to come together one more time to explore your word and to get some understanding, hopefully wisdom, that we can learn how to do it in this world, that you may be pleased with the things that we do. Direct us, Holy Spirit, and lead and guide us into the way we should go. Lord, we are careful to enter your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. Lord, I thank you for everyone that decided to take time out their schedule and come here and be with us tonight. Lord, I'm asking for favor and financial blessings and great health, dear God, and peace and joy and patience for everyone that's tuning in. Not just them, dear God, but their family. And I want you to just look down in their neighborhood and bless our city, dear God, and our state and our country. Bless our president, dear God. Let him be able to move and maneuver and get the things that he is set out to do. Help him, dear God. And, Lord, I thank you for the caller that called, that decided to open up with prayer. I'm asking that you bless him, dear God, and thank him for the comments as well. And, dear God, I just want you to just be with us and guide us and protect us so that we will not lose our way, that we would understand what you have for us to do, that we can walk in our purpose, because then and only then will we have success. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you, and I honor you. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Okay, callers, the Lord be with you until we meet again. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead on and play some music. And I think this record is very appropriate because it's Mary, Mary. And what she's saying in this record, you know, people wonder how she gave, but they don't know what she gave to get what she got. So I'm going to play Mary, Mary right now, and then I'll be back with you and call. And how many is still in the studio where I can see that you're still there? I'll play some more music after that. And even if you decide while the music is being played or when the record goes off, if you want to talk, you can still press the one button and I'll bring you in. Thank you. Be blessed. God and me. Right now I have a caller that been called in and want to talk. The caller at 281 area code 809. Your line is now open.
Well, hey, Diane. How you doing?
How you doing, Tamika?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking. I wanted to tell everybody good night and to tell you thank you again for the word that you brought before us tonight, and I wasn't going to say anything or press the button to talk, but this was for me, and I don't know if this for somebody else as well. You may also need to just sow a simple I'm sorry to someone to reap what God has in store for you. And as you
Hallelujah.
Said, as you said, you know, he looks at your heart, and if you do things the right way, and like you say, no matter how people perceive you, as long as you do what's right, that's all that matters. So I just wanted to say that. I don't know if that was for anybody else, but that was for me, and I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to say thank you again for conducting Bible study every week, and that I love you, and that's all.
I love you as well, Tamika. And thank you for that input. And see, that's what we have to do, and that's what we could do, because when she said that makes a lot of sense, you know, you know, even, you know, I didn't put in there about sowing relationships. You know, if you sow into a relationship, you get a relationship. You know, people who don't have friends, you got to first, you know, show yourself friendly. All of these things is a part of the reaping and the sowing that God said. And it's almost like just we could take everything we said tonight and I could have came on and said one thing. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That's the golden rule. And if everybody just followed that, it would be no need for the 10 o'clock news. And I just want to say thank you so much to Tamika for calling in, because it's always good when I hear from people, because you're wondering what you're doing, if it's making a difference. You're wondering if you need to do it a different way. You want to know if, well, really it's not about me, but God's word, and I'm satisfied that I believe that I'm only the vessel and that he uses me to just present the word for his people. He knows who's going to be on this line. I don't. There are numbers up here right now. I don't have a clue who you are, but God saw fit, and nothing happens by accident. You know, God gave me the lesson. I prepared the lesson, and it's for his people, and he have what he wants for them. So it's really not about me, but I thank you for knowing that, and that's just another aspect, another way for the word, and that's what we should do, because we come to explore the word of God together. So at this time, I don't see another mic button lit up. So what I'm going to do is play this song. I really love it. It's Fred Hammond and Reuben Studdard. Just a closer walk with thee. It's a beautiful song. And if the call is still on the line, I'm going to continue to play. Thank you. And that was closer. Reuben Sutter. And Fred Hammond. I have one more song for tonight. And after that, we'll say goodnight. This is Smokey North Pole. And the name of it is Justified. Listen in, because there is a message in the music.
The debt I just couldn't afford to pay. He came and saved me when the enemy said that I couldn't. God said, go ahead, because you're covered by my awesome, awesome, powerful blood. And never kept a lie. We're headed for destruction. God stepped in and he said,
not you.
You're gonna live and you won't see the day of destruction. Just like Daniel, who was condemned to the lion's den, God said,
not you.
You're gonna live. Just like David, who was dearly beloved in spite of, God said,
not you.
Grace of
and that's Not Guilty by, well, I don't think the name of it was Not Guilty. It was, but that was Sunny Norfolk. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in on tonight. And I pray that they receive a word from God that they could use in a weekly schedule and the rest of their lives. So I would like to tell everyone good night and be blessed. And I love you. And it ain't nothing you could do about it. Good night.